What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, episode 66. You Dress Like a Slob, recorded January 15th, 2014. To talk to us about dressing like a slob is none other than Pearland Dawson's Chris Shattuck. I am, of course, your host, Jeremy Jackson. Sitting right beside me is...
George.
Marlon.
Edith.
Morena.
Jocelyn.
Marissa.
Aisha.
Lorena.
And, of course, we got the rest of the sports medicine crew doing other jobs or absent. One of them, I think, has a spider bite or something, so she had to go to the doctor. If you want to join our conversation, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com, and then there's the live stream, so you can do the Ustream social stream. You can do the YouTube hangout on air, and Marlon will do that. The Ustream social stream will be Lorena, and George should be looking at Ustream if we can get it working. The Wi-Fi is giving us a little trouble there with that one. So again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com, and that has links to pretty much everything that every way you could connect to us today if you're listening live. A little bit about Chris. He's been an athletic trainer for 14 years. Chris has done a whole lot. We're going to talk about some of that during the show, and he's going to tell us just about how he's accomplished some of this really awesome stuff. And that's really why I wanted to bring Chris in, because he's done a lot of stuff professionally, but also with his school and his athletic trainer, his student athletic training program. Oh, Chris, congratulations on winning the t-shirt contest.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Congratulations.
Thanks for having me here.
It was pretty cool. At the G-Heads workshop, we had a t-shirt contest, and whenever Chris emailed in his t-shirt, I was like, oh, yeah, he's probably going to win that one. Because I liked mine a lot, but then I saw his. It was a kind of like a Rice Krispies treat, Snap, Crackle, Pop. It says, we treat your Snap, Crackle, Pop.
We got one for next year, too.
But, do you?
I don't know if it's going to be, if we're going to win or not. I don't know if you saw it. It looked like a deck of cards.
So you're going to submit this year's for?
That Rice Krispie one was from last year.
From last year.
And then we always like to create a shirt for G-Hats.
Yeah.
And we didn't get it done, our new one done in time to submit it this year. So we'll do it next year.
Yeah, that's what we always do, is we create a shirt. And if you show up, if you go to G-Hats, then you get the shirt. If you don't go, you don't get it, that kind of thing. So very cool. So congratulations on that. And also, they were runner-up in our second quiz bowl. So we had the quiz bowl there where you ask a whole bunch of anatomy questions. And it's really a cool experience. The kids get pretty excited. And my kids actually got to the second round. This was their first time ever trying it. And I really kind of set them up for failure, because I said, hey, I signed you up for the quiz bowl. Oh, okay, thanks. And then that's it. I said, you study some anatomy. And so congratulations again on being in the championship round there with you and your school. So,
thank you.
All right, without much further ado.
Mr. Shattuck, please tell us who you are and what you do.
I'm the head athletic trainer at Dawson High School in Pearland. You know, we take care of all the injuries and illnesses for our athletes. I've been athletic trainer for 14 years, just like Jeremy said, and I love doing it.
So really, the title of this, You Dress Like a Slob, is because Chris was talking to me one day, and he looked over and said, Jeremy, you dress like a slob.
So well, I did see you that day. You know how bad I felt whenever I knew that was in my presentation.
So he was, I was wearing khaki shorts and a polo, and I was at SWATA. So he didn't really look at me and say that, but he was doing this presentation.
I tried not to look at you. That's probably, because I did see you're front and center.
I was right up there, and I was like, ooh. And you know, at first I was like, this is stupid. What is he talking about? I'm an athletic trainer. I wear khaki shorts. You know, I can wear khaki shorts and a gym shirt, that kind of stuff. And, you know, that's what we wear. But then I started listening more to what he was saying and all the stuff that he's accomplished, the way that he's got the community to buy into what he's doing. And then really just taking a look back at myself and saying, there's some pictures up here on our wall where I'm doing a podcast wearing gym shorts, t-shirts, and some Crocs. And I'm thinking, I've had some medical professionals in here, and I'm wearing gym shorts, t-shirt, and Crocs. What does that say about me? So Chris technically didn't look at me and say, Jeremy, you dress like a slob, but essentially that was his presentation, and that's the way it hit me. So at first I was fighting back, but then I was like, you know what? This guy really knows what he's talking about. He's really got some stuff going on. So we're going to listen to Chris and all the stuff he's done.
Tell us some of the things you have done at Dawson to build a positive reputation.
Well, we first thing we do is recruit good students. So we have we send out flyers to our junior highs to students, only students that make an 85 or higher grade average, because we found that if they work hard in the classroom, most likely they're going to work hard outside of the classroom. So, and that's what I'm looking for, is people that are going to work real hard. We make our student athletic trainers know that their actions away from school as well as at school are a direct reflection of me and my program. So I want to make sure people are representing me well, because I don't want one of my students to be wearing a Dawson athletic training shirt and go to JCPenney's and, you know, shoplift or something. And they know that, okay, that person is an athletic trainer at Dawson High School. We know what kind of people those are.
So on that same question, you know, kids always share clothes. Is there any rule you have about your kids letting other kids borrow their Dawson athletic training t-shirt?
Oh, yeah, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And in fact, if they don't make it through our program all 4 years, we get all their clothes back. If they make it through, they get to keep everything they have.
Wow.
So at Dawson, like, if you want to be in a program, you have to start your freshman year. You can't just get in like
senior year. No, we do accept people. We usually do not accept seniors, just because really how much are they going to be able to contribute?
Yeah.
We can teach them a little bit that they need to know. And if they're interested in doing it in college, I may. If they answer the questions that I ask, what I'm looking for, I'll let them in as a senior, especially if they're looking to do this in college.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done that, and I've accepted two seniors, and we've been burned on one that wanted to, just thought it was a blow-off class, and then end up it was not. He had to work hard. And one that wanted to do it in college and did.
Hmm. It's good.
All right. So with the 85 average or above, how do you go about doing that? Do you just go to the counselors? Hey, everybody that has an 85 average or above, or do you just look at the people that apply and then take those people and look at their grades?
What we do is I'll email the counselors. I say I need a list of kids. They don't go by GPA at the junior high, so you have to use a number average, 85 average or higher. I need a list with addresses of these students, and they'll generate me a list. I'll print labels and send those people an application to our program. So it's kind of an inside deal. If you get an application, you can apply. It doesn't mean that we don't accept people that aren't in that that don't fall into that category. We'll take people like I was telling this student here. What's your name?
Aisha.
Aisha?
Yeah.
We'll take people that maybe aren't. If we know that they work hard or they answer the right questions, they come in and they bug me for, you know, a few weeks, and then maybe they'll break me down. I'll let them in as long as they make good grades, and then I'll check on their grades after that.
All right, I got you. So you start off by recruiting good kids.
We do, and then make sure that they're going to act right. They understand what what we want them, how our program goes, and how we want them to act away from school and at school. The other things we've done to build a positive reputation is we opened the athletic training room to the faculty and staff of Pearland ISD. That way, you know, there's a lot of people out there that don't know what we do. We're behind the scenes. We're real comfortable behind the scenes. So if I can open it any way to let people in our district know exactly what we do, you know, if you've got, you know, you've had hip replacement surgery, it's kind of giving you problems or something, come in, we'll help you with some exercises. We'll help do some physical therapy for you. And then we do special events to promote our program. You know, we can talk about that later. And then communicating to the public about what we do. And that really starts out with our communications department.
All right, so how do you go about telling the faculty and staff that they can come to the athletic training room without dealing with every single ache and pain in the faculty?
That's tough. You know, when they come in, because we do deal with people that might have just general aches and pains or whatever, things that maybe they don't need to be there. So we'll be nice about it and let them know. And we start by asking our administrators, hey, this is something we want to do. You know, will you allow us to do it? And of course, they were on board. But those people that come in from our district, they have to make an appointment because our schedule. We have a window in the morning that's open, but we don't want people coming in off, you know, in our from our district, you know, during athletics or something like that.
I got you. So they just email you or call you and say, "Hey, can I come in?"
No, email. Yeah, they email us. We'll set up an appointment.
Because you know, I would like to do the same thing. Is just, you know, help out the people that are here. You know, these are the people that we work with, but You know, our teachers teach 6 out of 7, so they only have 1 conference period. So that's the reason I have you here, is to learn what works really well and then adapt it to where we are. So,
can you tell us about your typical work schedule, like numbers of classes, treatment times, etc.? Okay.
Yeah, we have practices in the mornings. Usually our sub-varsity sports will practice in the mornings, starting about 6:15. So we'll show up then, and we'll be there for practice. We'll also be there for treatments for our other athletes. They're hopefully required to come in by their coach. We like them to get there. We'll go through first period with athletics. We also see our junior high athletes during first period because they start school about 8:40. We start school at 7:15, so during our first period, we see junior high, and then we're still in athletics for that first period. Then second through fourth period is kind of downtime for us. We will do paperwork, or we will make doctor's appointments, talk to parents, things that we need to take care of that's outside of working in athletics. And then fifth period, we are back in athletics through the end of the day, the school day, and then after school, about 5:30. We're going home. If it's not game day. Now, if it's game day, of course, we're going to be there a little bit longer. And we're also available after practice for treatments.
All right, so y'all have 2.5 athletic trainers at Dawson. Do y'all switch off at all? Like somebody comes in early and then leaves at 2:30, or somebody comes in, you know, at start of school at 7:15 and then stays till practice is over, something like that?
That's true. Now, in the fall, it's tough because football and volleyball are going on. We like to have somebody inside for volleyball, outside for cross country and football. But in the spring, we kind of get to do that. Now, in the fall, we do alternate mornings, morning treatments, and our administrators encourage us to do that because we still, even though I might not come in until 10 o'clock 3 days a week or something like that, I'm still working 70-hour weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
In the spring, then we will alternate. If you come in early, you get to leave early. Unless there's 3 events going on at school, you know, then you can go home early. Today, I came in late, so I will stay late.
Gotcha. Yeah, I like that concept. So we're still working out some of the details here, but I like... Like this week, I come in early, so then I leave at 2:30 unless I have a game, and so it's much nicer to go home 2:30 than at 5:30 or 6:30, hang out with the kids.
So. Right, yeah, that's the most important thing is family. I've got 2 kids now, so any time away from school, I cherish that. Our half athletic trainer, Coy, she's split between our school and Pearland High School, so you know, she'll be on our schedule for a week and then Pearland's for a week.
Gotcha. All right, so right now, you know, we're doing this with my sports medicine class. Y'all don't have sports medicine 1 or 2 over there?
We don't. I wish we did. I think we're kind of in the process of getting that worked out. So hopefully we can get that class. I would definitely like to have be able to teach our student athletic trainers or anybody that's interested in sports medicine the information they need. I think it would be greatly helpful for our student athletic trainers. It's hard to teach them while you're doing hands-on stuff or you know, you're at practice or in the athletic training room.
All right, so the reason I felt that question was important was because we're going to get to some of the many things that you do, like you said, to promote your program, to promote the profession, to build community relations and all those other things. There's a lot of things that I feel that you've accomplished. And, you know, some people are full-time teachers and then athletic trainers only after school. And so if they're listening, I don't want you to be discouraged saying, well, why am I not doing all this stuff? Well, I mean, Chris, his school district supports what they're doing. And they give him, you know, an hour or two during the day and they give him some time off and that kind of thing. So, I mean, he's still accomplishing great things. There's people with his schedule that don't do nearly as much. But if your schedule isn't as friendly as his, then don't be discouraged that you're not accomplishing all this. But
no, we didn't start that way.
Right.
It's about talking to people and let them know what you do, basically, because they don't know. They don't know how much time you spend there or how much work that we do. And when they do realize that, then they're more willing to work with you and say, hey, you need to flex time, get out of here, don't be here for this or that, whatever.
Excellent. Yeah, because we just actually this year started tracking our hours so that we have an idea and we can, you know, if it comes to, you know, hey, we need a pay raise or hey, we need to, you know, make it official that you come in at this time or whatever it is, that we have evidence behind it. So, and again, I think that was because of what I heard at when you were talking at SWATA, you know, just talking about keeping track of your hours, being able to present evidence, being able to talk to people. And so.
Sure. Yeah. And then our athletic director is really good. If he doesn't work us wanting us working more than three events a week. If that's the case, then we'll contract out athletic trainers. So they're very good to us, and it's just because they know, you know, what we're doing.
Very cool. That's awesome. I think we have some pretty good support over here in Pasadena for our athletic trainers with Rodney and Renika. So we got to work on the three event thing, though. I'm gonna propose that to them. Tell them Chris Shattuck said.
Do it. They want to call me, I'll give them more information.
All right, so let's find out why we're asked this.
What are some of your accomplishments as an athletic trainer?
Oh, I've won a few awards as an athletic trainer. I don't know if I would say it's accomplishments. But the Bobby Gunn, for GHATS, I've won the Bobby Gunn Award, the Tom Wilson Award, and the GHATS Off Award twice. I would say accomplishments, I think personally, that probably mean more are the opportunity that I've had to serve on various committees or with organizations. So within GHATS, I've been on the website committee with the Texas State Athletic Trainer Association. I was on the website committee with them also. And then with the Southwest Athletic Trainer Association and the National Athletic Trainer Association, I was on the public relations committee. That was, you know, I really learned a lot there, and I think how to improve my program by just communicating to the public. And I was chair of the SWATA PR committee. I've also had the opportunity to volunteer at several places, and I think that if you get a chance to volunteer as an athletic trainer, you get to meet some really neat people and do some really neat things. Especially at the, I was able to volunteer for 2 weeks at the Olympic Training Center in Chula Vista, California. I did the United States Figure Skating Championships. I didn't do a whole lot there, but that was interesting for sure. The U.S. Olympic Trials for the Marathon, and I got that gig from just basically volunteering for the Houston Marathon each year. The Olympic Trials were in Houston. It was an extra day. We were able to do that. And then other accomplishments we've had. I think my students, I really feel that if they accomplish something, it makes me feel good. We've won GHATS Exemplary Student Athletic Trainer Award twice, GHATS scholarships a couple of times, and TSATA scholarships one time.
All right, so you can see Chris has done a lot, been a lot of places, accomplished a lot of things, or you know, been involved in a lot of things, and you know. We were talking before the show, and he's like, you know, I just kind of like to stay busy, and we're going to talk about how they got their school bus painted, and or how they got a school bus for the student trainers or for the sports medicine, and they got it painted, and that kind of thing. So there's probably some things in here that he didn't mention, and probably some things he'll think of later. But just being available and doing things gets you other opportunities, and really, that's what I'm looking for is a way to. Do those kind of things with my students, and so real quick, Aisha is tweeting out stuff. Chris, do you have a Twitter, or do you have a Twitter with your student trainers that you would like her to?
I have a personal Twitter.
You don't have to put that out here if you don't want to.
Okay. I don't care. It's at FABU_AT.
Sorry for the interruption of the process, but you may want to contact Chris and find out about some of the cool stuff he's done going to the Olympic Training Center. How long? You said you were in 2 weeks, California?
2 weeks. You sign up. It was easy to do on the USOC website. If you want to volunteer, if you're an athletic trainer, chiropractor, doctor. So I filled out that information. And I would say about 6 months later, they gave me a call, said, it's like a level one. There's like four levels to working in the Olympics. And level one is volunteering at an Olympic Training Center. They give you about two or three dates of a two-week span that you can do, and you have to choose one, because if you don't choose one of those, then they probably won't call you again. So I did. I went out, and I chose one that was over spring break for us, and then I had to take a week off of school. So it was really cool. Those athletes, the elite athletes, working with them. They're ready to get back on the field. And it was at Chula Vista. There's BMX. BMX is in the Olympics. It was field hockey. What else did we have? Field hockey. Those were the two main things going on while I was there. Archery was there for the the Olympians train there. So it's really neat.
She shouldn't have too many missed shots with archery, huh? Nobody just randomly getting shot.
No, a lot of shoulder shoulder injury. BMX was pretty cool. You know, people coming, you know, if they wrecked and they're all scraped up because the course is kind of asphalt and rock. Mm-hmm. Kind of, it's really hard. But, you know, I begged some of the BMX girls to let me borrow a bike, and I went out and got to do the course. It's a little more difficult than you think. I didn't want to go from the top of the ramp that they use. It was, it seemed like it was up there 20 feet or so.
Yeah.
Going down, and then the first thing you hit is a 10-foot, you know, jump. No, thank you.
I've actually, I wanted to do, like, I'd like to volunteer, stuff like that, but because of situations and decisions that I made, I'm no longer NATA BOC, so volunteering at in Colorado or in California, it just isn't an option for me anymore because I'm only a licensed athletic trainer.
Right.
And so to serve there, I would have to be the NATA BOC. And so I somewhat regret letting that go because when I did, I didn't know about all these other opportunities with out of state. I was like, you know, I'm an athletic trainer here in Texas, and I'm never leaving Texas. I don't plan on working anywhere, but I didn't know about volunteer opportunities or other things outside of where I live. And
I thought about that too. I was licensed for 5 years, and I went through an internship program, and then they had a cutoff. They said, okay, BOC says this is it. Unless you go to an accredited program, you can't carry the credentials. So I said, well, I better take the exam, and I'm glad I did.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I took that exam, and I was certified for 2 or 3 or 4 years, whatever it was, until I switched jobs, and I forgot to keep all my CEU certificates, and I got audited, and I didn't have that stuff, and then I was like, well, out of luck. And then I don't know. So that was my fault for not taking care of it, and then, again, if you're listening to this, then... and you are BOC, then maintain it because there's other opportunities that you may think about later that you want to do. So, all right, so we're going to move forward a little bit.
What are some of your expectations you have on your student athletic trainers?
I think the number one thing I tell my student athletic trainers is work hard first, have fun second. If our job gets done, everybody's going to have fun. But if our job's not getting done, then nobody in my staff's going to have fun, okay? So that's my number one expectation is strong work ethic. They need to be able to adjust, adapt, and overcome to adverse situations. Our jobs, you know, things happen that are unexpected. It's spur of the moment. You might need to react, and they need to be able to adjust to the situation they're in, adapt to their surroundings or what they need to be doing from that point on, and then overcome in that situation.
So on that note right there, you have performed CPR or using an AED on somebody?
Yeah, twice I have, yes. The first time was one of our athletes in 2009. It was during fifth period. It was off-season football, and he just dropped out on the field. So we did CPR and AED. We brought him back.
Oh, good.
And then the last time was this year. We were playing Clear Falls this year for football. It was before the game. Everybody was warming up, and a cameraman on the other sideline dropped down. And then we were all over that. Within probably a minute, we had the AED hooked up on him and shocked him. He came back to life.
Oh, goodness gracious.
And he said, you know, he didn't know what happened. I mean, he woke up pretty shortly after that, and he was he said he was feeling bad, and he was looking for a place to sit down, and he just collapsed. He said, but he felt good then, I bet, after having all the electricity go through body.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, I don't like doing that. You know, I guess that I'm just in the right place at the right time. Anybody here, Jeremy, if he is ever in that situation, I'm sure would do the same exact thing.
I'd be scared.
It's scary. It is. Things
because it's all happening so fast, and you're just like, oh, my goodness.
I'm going to tell you that when our athlete went down and I was out there with him, people talk about tunnel vision, but you don't realize how just focused you get. All I could visualize was the kid's chest doing compressions, And then when I looked up after everything, the ambulance was there, and he had a pulse again. There was all kinds of people standing around us, and they, man, I just, you don't realize how much, you know, you focused you get when you're in that situation.
Yeah.
See, that's why I want to, we continue to practice the CPR stuff, is just in case there's a situation like that.
I'll tell you, it's just like doing it on the dummy. I feel like when I do compressions, it's just like, it feels the exact same as I'm doing it on the CPR dummy.
Except it's a real thing.
The real thing. The real thing.
What else do you have about your student trainer expectations?
Let's see. They must maintain good grades. They're allowed to fail one time. After that, we cannot depend on them. Because after they fail, then we don't let them work any games. They still have to cover practices, just like an athlete. If you fail two times, we can't depend on you. You know, we'll have to see you later.
So then at that point, do you say you're done for your entire 4 years? You're done for the rest of the time at Dawson, or you can reapply after a year?
Usually I'll say they can reapply. If they want to, they can reapply the next year. That doesn't mean that we'll have a spot for them. If we do, I might take them back, especially if they were a hard worker, they had a strong work ethic. I definitely consider taking that person back. But they need to focus on their grades. That's the number one reason why y'all are here at school, is to pass your classes and figure out what you're going to do with your life.
All right. So, again, Michelle, you typing all this in. I really need to get all these notes
so you can get on us. So you can tell us.
So I can be like Chris when I grow up.
Our kids, they also have to learn some basic rehab, data entry. They enter the treatments in, and then taping. And then they have to be able to apply those skills in the athletic training room, probably just like you guys or any other student athletic trainers. So those are some expectations we have. We usually won't let students travel to games by themselves their freshman year, maybe their sophomore year. It depends. If they can do these things, if they can tape an ankle and tape different parts of the body, we'll let them go maybe by themselves their sophomore year. And then, of course, keep a clean, well-organized athletic training room. Kids gripe about this all the time, but when you walk into a doctor's office, it's clean. You go into a physical therapy clinic, it's clean. When people come into our medical facility, which is the athletic training room, it should be clean and organized. If a parent comes in, they don't want to see a bunch of clutter, dirt on the floor, whenever we're taking care of their kids.
All right, so one of the things you had wrote in your notes is act and dress professionally. What do you wear to work? Because you see right now I'm wearing khaki pants and a polo, and usually during class I'll wear either khaki shorts and a polo or khaki pants and a polo. You know, if it's cold, I might wear a sweatshirt over this or something like that. And that's really only been since, I don't know, this year at most, but probably even sometimes this year I've been wearing shorts and stuff like that. So what do you wear when you go to work?
If I go to work, if it's during fall and football season, I'll wear exactly what you're wearing right there. And then after school, I'll change into some shorts because I'm going outside. In the spring, I'm inside most of the time, so I'll just stay in my khaki pants. I'm wearing this long sleeve shirt today because I'm on your show. So, but our kids can wear shorts to practice too, and t-shirts to football practice, to games. They need to wear khaki pants, unless I think Thursday night football games. We let them choose. They can all wear shorts. They can all wear khaki pants. Khaki shorts or boy pants. But other games, especially indoor games, where they're seen by the public, the crowds that are in the stands, they have to wear khaki pants and their game shirt. If it's baseball or softball or something like that, where they're hidden in the dugout, then jeans are okay for them.
All right, so what about like sub-varsity game? They still wear either khaki pants and a polo or khaki shorts and a polo?
For sub-varsity football, they can wear shorts. But for everything else, they have to wear, even if it's sub-varsity, basketball, if it's a sub-varsity basketball tournament, khaki pants and their game shirt. Or one of their game shirts. It doesn't have to be the current one. It can be any of them.
I got you. So the way we work our polos is they don't buy them. We issue, we bought a whole bunch of them and then we issue them out. And one of our things is you have to learn how to tape through the ankle to be able to earn the right to wear the polo. So if you can't tape an ankle, which, before you have to be able to tape fingers, thumb, wrist, hand, and then you get to the ankle, and if you can tape the ankle, you can earn a polo. And so that's how we do that. So what do you consider a game shirt, and then how do you give those? Or that kind of thing.
Our game shirts are polos also. And we'll issue them out at the beginning of the year. This is what they're required to wear for games. Because we'll send, even though they may not be able to tape, I see where you're going with that, because I won't send my freshmen on the road by themselves. But I will send them on the road with an upperclassman. They might go to a basketball game with a senior, just so they get the experience. So I want them to look, I want them to look the same. They need to wear their polo. It's expensive, and man, I wish we didn't have to buy clothes every year, polos every year, because it gets real expensive.
Mm-hmm. So that's what y'all do, is just whenever you get a new set of kids in, you buy those.
We buy them. We get their sizes when they apply, and they send their application. The ones that we interview and select, we usually have about 20 to 30 kids apply for our program. We'll take about 6. And once we narrow it down to those 6, then I'll ask for their shirt size, and I'll place that order in the summertime. So in the fall, they'll get their shirt before the first volleyball game.
And then you buy it because you said...
We'll get it back.
Yeah. You get it back if they don't...
Unless they graduate. If they graduate, they go through all 4 years, they get to keep everything. But if they for some reason have to leave our program, then we get everything back.
So the returning kids, do they get a new polo every year?
They'll get a new one every year. So by their senior year, they should have 4 polos, and they can alternate those however they want. And then they should have... Our freshmen will get 2 T-shirts to start for practices, because our kids have to wear... They can wear shorts at football practice, but they have to wear a Dawson T-shirt or a red, white, and blue T-shirt also. So I'll give them 2 to start with, and then sophomore through seniors will get just 1 T-shirt each year.
I gotcha. Okay. Fair enough. I like the... We've been pushing more towards the all dressing the same, and in the past we've tried to be like, all right, well, y'all decide if you're going to wear shorts or if you're going to wear black pants, but... maybe we just weren't organized, as between Bill and I, but I think we just had to say, all right, if you have to have khaki pants, and then since we do our polos through the taping, if you don't, you have to either wear the gray shirt, which is the gray practice T-shirt, or the polo if you have the polo. And most people want to wear the polo because it looks a lot nicer and you look like you're professional. So
right,
that's how it looks. Spiffy.
Yeah, looks spiffy. So that's how we usually work that. So the shirt you're wearing, the long sleeve button down, do you wear that to games?
I'll wear the polo to games. I'll wear this if I go to have to be on, be at the school board meeting or something like that, meet with administrators, I'll put this shirt on. But if it's games, I'll wear a polo.
Gotcha.
And then usually our kids also get a long sleeve T-shirt or a something for cold weather. We might give them a pullover or something like that.
All right. Yeah, so whenever I first heard your talk at SWAT, I was like, well, he probably doesn't even ever go outside during the day. Chris is just wearing khaki pants and polo during the day. He just sits in the training room. He's got other people to do work for him, but...
No, my wife, she wonders why I always have so many clothes to wash, because I've got my khaki pants I wear during the day, and then I got shorts if I'm going outside or whatever. So, yeah, there's a lot of clothes.
Yeah. And there you go. That's why I wanted to get a chance to ask you, just kind of your schedule and how you work that out. And I honestly feel better whenever I'm wearing khaki pants or khaki shorts and a polo here at school than if I'm just wearing gym shorts and a T-shirt. I feel better about myself, and then I feel that others perceive me differently. Because even at the beginning of this year when I started wearing khaki pants and polos or khaki shorts and polos, the coach was like, where are you going? You got a meeting? You got to go up front or something? I'm like, no, I'm just... Just trying to change the perception, trying to,
that's right.
Be professional.
Look good, feel good.
What are some tips to maintain high standards within your student athletic trainers?
Well, we treat our student athletic trainers like employees. They apply for the job. The only thing is that we don't pay them. So they apply for the job. We interview them. We accept them into our program. And then we expect them to follow our rules. And if they don't follow our rules, then we'll fire them. So they're expected to do what we want them to do. We want to hold them accountable for their actions. We want them to make us look good. When they make us look good, then everybody's happy. If they're doing something they shouldn't be, or maybe they're stealing from JCPenney's, like I mentioned earlier, then they make us look bad. We've got to get rid of you.
Cool.
All right, so what do you do... to hold that account? I'm not sure if you mentioned it somewhere throughout here, You told me y'all have a point system.
We do have a point system that we use. Everybody gets a schedule, okay? Once a month, they're allowed to give schedule requests for days that they need off, and we'll do as best we can to get them those days they need off. If they work everything on their schedule, they get 0 points. That's what we expect them to do. They should be doing that. If they are late or they miss an assignment on their schedule, they will get minus one. If they show up for extra things, if they want to show up for extra for morning treatments when they're not assigned, or they want to show up for we allow them to show up for home games or practices, then we'll give them 1 point. And the way this works is by the end of the week, whoever's got the most points will get a pair of golden scissors. They win the Golden Scissors Award for the week. We'll use this also to, for example, football. Everybody wants to go to football games. It's the most fun part of the year, right? So we'll take our points. Who's been working hard for that week? We can only take, out of our 16 athletic trainers, we can only take 10 on our bus. So we'll see who's been working hard. We'll take those 10. So a freshman may be going over a junior. I like to take all my seniors. I like to have that leadership, whether they're getting their points or not. I understand that it's your senior year, okay? You know, you're going to slack off a little bit. But they do have good leadership skills. So a freshman might be going over a junior, and they can't get upset about it because the freshman was outworking that junior. And then by the end of the year, whoever's got the most points will go on our most valuable athletic trainer Golden Scissors Award plaque that's hung in the athletic training room. And it's a fight between the last couple of years. It's been a fight between two kids, and they're working a lot of extra things.
So you said you give them an actual pair of golden scissors?
The Golden Scissors Award for the week. I'll give a pair of scissors. I buy from A Athletic. They sell them. The only people I know that sell those golden scissors.
So do they get to keep those, or they give those back each week?
No, they keep them.
So I could potentially have 26 pairs of golden scissors.
You could, yes.
Nice. So do you ever have anybody give them back or anything?
No, nobody ever gives them back. Some of them, they're little. Some of them keep them in there, like their little pack. Some of them will take them, you know, they'll use them during games or whatever they want to do with them. Some people just hang them in their locker. As decoration. I know that I made a big old necklace with a couple one time. We did our broadcast people for school did a Cribs episode and went through our athletic training room, so I was wearing that.
Nice.
Cool.
So that's a really cool idea to hold them accountable, and then also to be sure to reward the positive work. Because, you know, we have some people that miss games and some people that always cover for them and people that just stay extra and work. And we try to say, hey, thanks for being here. Thanks for working. Thanks for doing this extra. And, you know, we notice that when we go to assign sports or assign things for the next year, but keep an actual track like you're doing with the spreadsheet and points and that kind of thing. I think it would help us to create more accountability rather than just my subjective opinion.
Right. If somebody's slacking off, they're not showing up, I can show them, here are the times you missed. This is the reason why we have to get rid of you. I can't depend on you anymore. Good luck. I'm not mad at you. Come back anytime. Talk to me. If you want to apply again, you're more than welcome to do that.
All right. So do you guys have a parent meeting at the beginning of the year, or do y'all do that as part of the application process? Or
right. We'll have a parent meeting. We'll discuss with the parents our expectations of their kids, and then even though they know the expectations, sometimes we do, if we have to fire one of our kids, we do get some pushback from the parents. But we can show them. I've documented the times that they've missed, and they have to accept that.
So on those documentations, if, you know, a kid is sick, has a doctor's appointment, something like that, How do you work that out within your system?
Right. They still miss that assignment. If they can't get it covered by somebody else by switching, that's still a missed assignment. They can make it up with doing extra points. Now I'll document, hey, they didn't just miss because they didn't show up. They were sick. So I might not hold that against them whenever, you know, if we're looking at getting rid of the student.
Gotcha. Okay. So it's that. Then how much extra time do you feel that takes up to do the documentation? Because you said you have 16 students, and if you have to daily enter, you know, he was here for 16 different spreadsheets or whatever, then how much extra time do you think that adds to you?
It's just one spreadsheet on there, and it's just like our schedule. It has a list of our kids, the day of the week, and I put in miss or late, and then it calculates all these points for me on a separate sheet, so I can look and see how many total points they have, because they must have 30 extra points to get their letter jacket. And then I can look back. If I need to look back, I can. I have to look by each week. If I have to look back because I know somebody's been missing a couple of times, it takes some time. But entering it in is probably, I would say, about a minute or two each day.
Good. How long did it take you to get in the habit of doing that? Because we kind of started doing that where we'd mark them present or absent and that kind of thing, but then we just forget, or, you know, or maybe if Bill's outside and I'm inside, then he thinks I'm doing it, I think he's doing it.
Right.
How long did it take y'all to figure that out?
Well, not very long, because of the golden scissors, the kids kind of reminded us, hey, you need to enter my points in. I worked extra today. Who's leading in the points this week, or am I going to win the golden scissors or whatever?
Gotcha.
So they keep me entering that stuff in.
So they keep you accountable by you keeping them accountable.
Right.
Awesome. Man, I got it. I'm telling you, I'm going to be like you when I grow up, Chris.
Oh, come on.
What are some things we can do to improve the school and community's perception of our program?
I think number one is establish relationships with people that can help you, and people that can help you promote what you're doing here at Pasadena High School. I mean, this podcast is, I think, a great thing. I wish more people would listen to this. I didn't really know about it until you mentioned something to me. So you're already getting out in the community. But people at Pasadena ISD can help you. I mean, the number one person that helps us is our communications department. I get to know the person that submits our stuff to the newspapers or to the media, and I make sure that I send every single thing that we do to her. Now, she filters. She may filter it out. She may send it. I would say about half the stuff that I send her makes it into some type of media, whether it's just a school district media thing, a flyer, a website, or the papers.
So you said you send them every single thing you do. Obviously, you're not.
Not I mean, if we, anything that our students are doing mainly is what we're doing.
So, like, we're going on a field trip next week. Would you send them pictures?
Send them pictures, right? Yeah, send them pictures, and I would type up. If I type up four paragraphs about, you know, why we were there, or what we experienced, maybe a paragraph will get in the media, whatever type of media. So they'll comb through it and break it down, you know, and make it smaller, summarize it, and then put it the way they want to present, because they're always looking for ways to promote the district. There's so many people that are trying to bring school districts down, what people are doing bad. If there's any way the school district or even a business or university can promote themselves, you're helping them do that.
All right.
Always, here's one thing that you can do, because you never know who's going to come in the athletic training room. Your principal might come in there, superintendent, you never know. You have to keep it clean. And sometimes our students feel like custodians because we have a daily list of things that need to be done. We sweep, we mop, we wipe the tables, the cabinets down, take out the trash. We do all that. And it has to be done because if a parent walks in there, and a parent might be somebody that has influence in the community, if it looks good, they're going to feel comfortable. If it looks like it's unorganized and dirty, then they're going to tell somebody that's going to affect your program negatively. Get to know the people that can help improve your situation in your district. For example, we have our transportation director. If you haven't seen our blue bus driving around, that's where he came from. It's just getting to know our transportation director or assistant superintendents that can make my job situation better, whether it's more pay or more time off, and just letting people know exactly what we do. Administrators in our district know, because they don't. People don't realize what we do.
All right, so we mentioned earlier you can follow Chris on Twitter, FABU at underscore AT. I'm sorry, FABU underscore AT. And your icon is your bus, right?
It is, yeah.
All right. So you can see a picture of his bus by looking at it on Twitter there, in case you were wondering. And you could be jealous.
Ways to involve your community, I would say. Things that we do in the the best way to start, if you haven't done much of that, is National Athletic Training Month is March. So everybody across the United States is, or athletic trainers across the United States are promoting our profession. And we kind of brainstorm together and figure out what we're going to do for National Athletic Training Month, and then kind of go from there. And once we get people to, it's kind of a gimmick here. We're going to have a free hot dog night at our soccer game. Okay, we give away 500 free hot dogs. We'll get people there, but and then once they get there, we can give them information about what we do, whatever information we want to get out there to the public.
And then last year you had, was it the mayor of Pearland?
We've had the mayor's given two proclamations for us. We've had a U.S. congressman give a proclamation last year. It was a U.S. congressman and our state representative came to our school for free hot dog night at a baseball softball game. They did a first pitch at softball, and then one gave a first pitch at baseball. They gave their proclamation about Athletic Training Month, and then they judged the hot dog eating contest we had during the games.
All right, so did you go through the communications people to get them here, or did you contact them directly?
I contacted them directly. All of them have a website and usually a form on the website that you can fill out, and I tell them what I'm trying to do. It's National Athletic Training Month. I'd like to give a proclamation. I have an example. I have a proclamation already written up, so all they have to do is, if they want to modify it at all, they can, or sign their name. And then they put it on their nice fancy paper, and they'll bring it out there and read it. So it looks good.
All right, so Chris used to run the website for GHADS, and now he runs a website called How to Be an Awesome Athletic Trainer. So I might have to get with Chris after this and get some of those samples of what he's put out there to get to those people. That stuff is really cool.
We thought about this. I don't know if we'll be able to do anything for National Athletic Training Month this year. We spent some money on we adopted some kids for Christmas, and so we spent a lot of money on that. What I wanted to do this year was to break a Guinness World Record. And I probably could. We could have done it. It was an easy record. Not an easy, but it would have been easy to break for a school that's already got a bunch of people at it. And I looked at how much work is involved in that, and man, I don't think we're going to be able to do that. But that's an idea maybe you can take away from this.
Breaking a Guinness World Record. All right, George, you're the resident looker-upper, so find a Guinness World Record we can break. Got it, George?
Yeah.
All right.
You can take mine. It's the largest game of red light, green light. And I think there was only 750 people. So, yeah, you could easily break that if you get your students at the school.
All right, fire drill. Next fire drill, everybody.
But the amount of work you have to do to document it, you have to film from when you have to count every single person with like one of those turnstiles, or if you're under 1,000, you can use like a baseball, on the counter. But you have to have two people doing that. You have to video all that people going in. You have to have one person for every 50 that's not affiliated with your school to make sure everybody's running the game correctly. You have to count them as they leave and video all that. It's a lot of work.
Well, I tell you what, if you decide you need somebody to monitor, then you can give me a call. And since I'm not affiliated with your school.
We're not going to do it. I just don't think I want to put the work in for that.
That's a pretty cool idea, though. All right, so George is actually looking up Guinness World Records right now, so he's going to look up some other ones. Maybe we can find one.
So if you did that, then people would they would read that article, and you could put your information about all the good things y'all are doing here, listen to my podcast, all that stuff.
I love the podcast because I always come up with ideas, and now that I have Michelle over there typing away stuff, I get to actually go back and look at it, and then I can remember what the ideas were. So
you got to get a gimmick to get people, people interested or people out to. If it's free food, usually people will come out. So,
and so with that, do you guys just pay for that out of your?
We do. We have an activity account. We get money from doing physicals, so we have an activity account set up, and then we'll buy a hot dog. I mean, you can buy 80 hot dogs for $20, so we'll buy about 500, and usually we're getting rid of all of them.
Awesome. Sounds like an excellent idea. So it is just about time for me to let these guys go. One question, George. Adam, that was a great idea. Do y'all have any other fundraisers besides the physicals?
We've done some fundraisers before for breast cancer awareness. I had a student that had a button maker. So we bought the materials to make buttons, and we sold buttons for a dollar. It said different, you know, slogans on it for breast cancer. And we donated all that money. Well, we just donated that money. So we don't, if we do a fundraiser, usually it's just to donate money to somebody.
But again, that's not necessarily a gimmick because it's supporting something, but it is a thing to say, hey, you know, our athletic training program is...
We did. That's exactly what we did. We said, okay, we donated $1,000 to the ROSE, which is a breast cancer foundation here in Houston. And then we, I think, I don't know if I'd send a picture of that or not, but I definitely let the communications department know, and I think they got that in the newspaper somehow. But we've done that for, a few times. I think anytime we raise money... If it's the majority of our money comes from physicals. If we raise it somewhere else, we're usually donating it to somebody.
All right. Well, is there anything else that you had?
I don't think so. I appreciate you having me on. It was great.
So I also want to thank the people who helped make the podcast possible. GHATS, the Greater Houston Athletic Trainer Society, sponsors CEUs, so you can earn CEUs, which is kind of what Chris was talking about earlier there, and we talked about it. You can earn about three quarters of, you know, I think it's three quarters of an hour per episode, because that's about how long each episode is, just for listening and being part. So if Chris wants to fill out the thing, you can get a certificate for, fill out the evaluation and get a certificate for being part of this. PISD Education Foundations, you see, if you're watching live, you can see I added some of the giant checks to the back wall there. If you want to check us out, again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com, where you can watch live almost every Wednesday, and you can join the conversations by getting on Twitter, where Aisha usually is tweeting out stuff from what we're saying. You can do it on the Ustream social feature. You can do it on Today's Meet. You can do it on Google Plus Hangout. Again, some of those we're still working out the kinks, but it's all there. So you can follow us on Twitter at PHS Sports Med. Google Plus is Sports Medicine Broadcast. Facebook.com/PHS Athletic Training. Well, for Jeremy, the Sports Medicine One crew, and Chris Shattuck from Pearland Dawson, that's a wrap.